Praise the Lord, good evening. We'll continue tonight speaking about church and ministry as the expectation of Christ. That will be part four. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What God would expect to see in us, to see in His church and in the ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Let's speak about charity and the meaning of charity, the meaning of love. Say the word of God, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have no charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and skyeth. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, thinketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, believeth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you anoint our mind and thoughts and ears. Help us to accept your word, let your word work in us, to transform us, to change us in the way that you want us to be changed and transformed. I pray for our attitudes and characters and behavior, and the way we think and the way we analyze will be changed to be in line with your word, in line also with your commands, in line with the charity that you define in the Bible. Oh God, I pray, put words in my lips and take the message where it needed to be reached, to reach people who are in need of it, to reach places who are in need of your word, oh God. I pray for people to be saved. I pray for congregation and servants and workers to be transformed. I pray, O Lord, for harvest, in our mid, whether here and in other places where the church is expanding, I pray, O God, for a real fruit that comes from you. O Lord, take the message and anoint the message. Whatever blockage, whatever antichrist, anti-ministry spirit, things that hinder, we come against it, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Let, O God, your will be done in our life. We thank you and praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The meaning of charity, the Greek word that he used in charity here, is the word agape, that is well known. And the meaning of it is brotherly love, affection, love, benevolence. But there's a very nice word, I like it, in the middle of all these terms, is goodwill. And goodwill, it means that there's the will of God in it. Love directed to be employed in the will of God. And also, love directed in a pure and a right motive that God desires to see. In the first three verses, Apostle Paul, he was telling them about the spiritual gifts that they have and the tongues and prophecies that we have read in verse 1 and 2. He told them that if I speak with the tongues of angels or men, tongues of men, that the Holy Spirit give him enablement to speak with other language without he being learning it, and tongues of angel is speaking in a language that need interpretation. And he told them that even if I have this, but I am not having charity, I don't have agape love, according to what it is described further down. He told them, I am just sounding a brass. I am just like an instrument, like what we have now in the churches now. Electrical instruments, guitar or piano, they do good things. They do great things, but these are all talents, and these tongues or spiritual gifts are gift from God. We have nothing input in it. We had received it freely from the Lord. So nothing about our achievement, even if we have them. Even if we have these gifts, that does not mean that we are achieving the aim, or we have reached the aim of God in our life. It is God had given us this. And he told them, even if we have the gift of prophecy and we understand all things and we have knowledge and we have faith so that it could remove mountains, and he said, if I have all these things and I don't have charity, He told them, I am nothing, because all of these are spiritual gifts that it came from God, and he is using them. But the main point here is that his attitude and character should be also changed with the will of God. Apostle Paul, he is not saying that these are not important in the ministry or that he is discouraging us to use it. But he say here, with this spiritual gift, we must also change attitude and characters. Because in the church, at Corinth, they have these gifts, and they were thinking they were perfect, or they had reached a perfection. And that's what is going on when the church or somebody have spiritual gifts. He thinks that he had reached the optimum. But as we understand later on, possibly when I was a child. So it means that to have spiritual gifts, but we don't have attitude and character that that God wants to see in your life. You are still a child and you need to be growing in the right way. How we discipline child? By rebuking, correcting, spanking, using rod and discipline him so that he will be molded. So still we need to be molded. So these characters of charity to appear in our life. In verse 3 there is very interesting thing. You know, we serve God because God wants us to serve him. We love God. And also we serve God because we want a reward from the Lord, right? We want God to reward us. But there's a very shocking, but that's the truth. We should know it. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's where the charity, helping people, and we need to help people, we need to give to the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, and have no charity, listen to what he says, it profiteth me nothing. So there's no reward even. There's no reward unless attitude need to be changed. And then Apostle Paul start to speak about charity. Charity suffereth long. The first things here, the character of the charity, he wants us to be willing to suffer. It is not that we are smart, escape suffering. We need to go through it. Suffering can be ameliorated by a lot of things. I mean, it can be reduced by a lot of things. You can escape. You can run away. That's what God wants you to do. And you don't need to suffer. You can use medicine. Yeah. You can use money to reduce the suffering. But charity here suffers. Charity suffers short or long. Charity suffers long. God wants us to let the love of God express in our life when we are willing to suffer not only a short period, but even long open period and up to the Lord to ameliorate it and to give us relief, whether he will heal us, he will provide for us, he will remove this thorn of the flesh in our bodies, or he will keep it, but he wants us to adjust and to go on. Love is patient in NIV, but in King James, charity suffereth long. The next character is of charity, verse 4, and is kind. Kindness is to do not good work. To do the good work that God has prepared in advance for you to do. Not to do good things that God did not say about it. Are you aware? Certain time we do a lot of things, but God did not speak about it. That is not charity. That is when he said that if you give all what you have to the poor and you have given your body to be burned and you don't have charity, you did not do what God wants you to do. That cannot compensate of the things that you don't have. You know, there's done when he say, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know, the perfection, when we have the charity to do what God asks us to do. You may be wake up in the morning and you have things to do. There are certain days when you wake up, God wants you to do that particular things. Yes, you know that you have duties, you have lists, 1 to 15, but he's waiting for you to do that particular thing that he has told you to do. If you, that day, If you had done all your items except that one, then you profited yourself nothing and you are nothing. Christ, there are certain things He expects to see in our lives. Our life is the ministry of God. Charity is envious? Not. There is no jealousy. No comparing yourself with others. And not that you are motivated with what you see in other people around you. You know, one of the commands of God in the Old Testament said, do not covet. Coveting is sin, and from it coming there, becoming envious. And we want to do what others also are doing. And many people, they engage themselves in longer programs, long educations, long projects with much investment on it. They use all their life with their prayers, but it is not of God. We need to be careful. Charity envious? Not. Don't try to copy the plan of God in certain people's life into your life. God has a great plan for you. Do what God had asked you to do. If God did not ask, God did not speak, that does not mean that you copy somebody else. Movies. Envieth not. Next, charity vaunteth not itself. The meaning of vaunteth not itself is not to boast. Not boasting is not extolling and making yourself higher than others. Charity vaunteth not itself. In NIV, it does not boast. Sometimes we forget ourselves. We start to boast, and when we boast, there will be self-righteousness. And when the self-righteousness is there, coming also anger. They say, vaunteth not. Don't boast. Next character of charity is not puffed up. Puff up is, you know, like, you know, puff up, you inflate yourself and you start to to put yourself in a situation not allowed for you to be in that situation. You know, we will read some scriptures about the word puff up. Charity not puff up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Have you seen a class without teacher? Class without teacher, how the student will behave?
Chaotic,
puff up over one another. They start to undermine the teacher. They go without discipline. That is not love. You know, when we understand what he wrote, Apostle Paul, that's the way for us to repent. I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 about Topaz. And he says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So they were out of shape and out of order. Why? The reason behind it, because Paul was not there among them. The teacher was not there, and they were start to lose their behavior and cross the border of one another. They start to puff up for one against another. There at the church of Corinth, Paul was their teacher, and in between, Apollos was there also. Some of them, they use Apollos to the extent to escape the discipline of Paul. So he mentioned it here, that I recognize that you are puffing up one against another, and that is not love. Let's read verse 18 and 19 from the same chapter. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. Have you got the point here? If the Apostle Paul was there, they are behaving, they are very good. But in his absence, where his eyes cannot reach them, when they can hide, or his arms of discipline cannot reach them, they will puff up, they will do wrong things, they know it is wrong. They misbehave with one another, and he told them, you think you puff up that I will not come? Verse 19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puff up, but their power. See, they will boast, they will speak things unnecessarily. The word of God says, anyone who speaks will speak according to what give word, strength. So that's the meaning of puff up. Not only inflating yourself, but start to speak certain things. You should not come from your mouth. You start to cross the borders and the limits and start to cause disorder. And that is, I tell you, so much spread nowadays in the body of Christ. Puffing up. You know, the people, they don't know that for every word they will speak, or story, or testimony, they injected with a boasting and puff up, they will pay for it. God will call us for every word that we speak out of puff up, out of non-concern. We need to repent of these things. First Corinthians chapter 5. Charity, not puff up. Love does not puff up. You know, it is not the love of God, the goodwill of God to puff up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2, he says, and ye are puff up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. They were boasting about it. You know, they were boasting about what? Somebody slept with his stepmother, and they, for them, is, you know, it's fine. It's okay. They just tell us a story, but they are not upset about it at all. Somebody get pregnant without marriage. Hey, have you got the one here? Yeah. So somebody steal. Yeah. Somebody cheat. They have no concern, and they will say it also. What is the action? And still that person is among them. Why? Because their concern is puff up. Just to speak, but no willing to do the thing that God wants them to do. And Apostle Paul here is rebuking them. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1, thinking about charity, not puff up. He told them, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. The point here, when you have knowledge in the Word of God, that not lead you to boast, but you have to do something to edify, to clean from sin. Knowledge cannot save. Knowing the scriptures without applying it in your life is just puff up. Knowing the scripture, knowing the verses, knowing what the scriptures, but you are not applying it in your life, that does not bring salvation of God into your life and into other people's life. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the next character of charity, verse 5, does not behave itself unseemingly. Charity does not behave itself unseemingly or talk unbecomingly. You know, there is one scripture, he used the same word, the same Greek word that he used it here. The word to behave itself unseemingly or to act unbecomingly, to act in a wrong way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 36. First Corinthians chapter 7 verse 36. But if any man thinks that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Now he mentioned it here. See, Apostle Paul, even the church in Corinth were out of order. They were rebelling against him because he is poor. But he put very clear things. He used for the girl, he used the word virgin. He did not say lady. He put for them that lady should be virgin. If she is unmarried, she is virgin. If she is not virgin, I did not allow it. It's not my teaching. This is not God's will. And he say, if the man behavingly uncomely or unseemly in a wrong way, so he make a limit that God said that this man need to marry this woman. But I did not tell them to be together. I did not allow them. He say, if they are contacting each other after it is approved by God, let them not continue to do this, let them marry. Now the word unseemingly here or uncomingly, it means that somebody had crossed the fence. Have you got the point here? Somebody had crossed the fence, and that should not taken place. See how he defined charity here. In King James, how he used the word here. In NIV, you see, it is not rude. And when you speak, it is not rude. You know, you have to speak gently and politely. Yeah, but that's not the purpose. That is not the purpose here, not to cross what is the scripture had ordained. The scripture ordained the girl is virgin. The scripture ordained that God should give the vision that this woman will marry that man. After that day, no communication. Paul did not say, I approve it. Let us understand what is agape love. You see the translation of the Bible? King James is more earlier. People were more fearing God. They have more true agape. That's why that time they were more blessing. Now less agape. More unseemly behavior, less blessing of God. And more problems. I pray that God will open our eyes tonight to understand what is charity. The next character of charity, verse 5, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own will. It is not self. Yeah, but in King James, seeketh not her own. Somebody doing his own. What do you understand? He's doing his own will. His own plan, not the plan of God. That is not charity. That is not the love of God. How many in the body of Christ, they are doing their own will? But they are good in celebrating Valentine's. Well, this is the idol worship. Seeking not his own. That is the meaning of charity. The goodwill, the benevolence. You know benevolence? You do something good to others. When you don't do your own, you are doing something very, very good to God and to others and to yourself. It is not easily provoked. Charity, it is not easily provoked, or it is not easily to be angry. In Acts, speaking about anger, in Acts 17 and verse 16, there is one word, the same word here, provoked, is there also. When we read it, we can grasp what is the provoked. For what we need to be provoked. Have you get the point? For what we should be provoked. Acts 17 verse 16. Say, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was still, his spirit was provoked in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. When he saw the idols, his spirit get anger provoked. You know, the right way of anger is toward sin. And you see here, not easily provoked, it means that you should know for what you need to get angry. I'll tell you something. If there is sin and idol worship around you, and you are not getting angry, you are sinning against God. And when you approve, and you keep it quiet, and get hand with them, that is not charity. That is work of devil already. I have seen many people, they get angry for no sin, but when they are sin, they are quiet. They will cover it up. They will paint also. They will give an explanation to justify sin. That is not charity. When there is sin, I need to be angry. And anger should lead us to the right action. Right action to deal with that issue. When Paul was angry when he saw the idols, what he did? He preached the gospel. He preached, he spoke to them, he told them, let me tell you who is this God that you say that is unknown to the unknown God, I will tell you who is he. Yes. Have you got the point here? When our spirit is provoked with anger because of sin and adultery, we need to do something good, kind to those people by telling them the truth. But I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing more terrible things nowadays. I'm seeing people get angry to somebody doing right. When somebody thinks this is sin, they say, why you are speaking? Why you are disturbing the people? You do not interfere. That is not agape. That is bringing hell into the midst. And we need to repent of this sin. Do you have charity? Next, verse 5, think is not evil, charity, think not evil, think. We need to calculate, count and weigh things before we speak or take an action or take decision. We need to be discerning and thinking wisely in a proper way that the will of God or good will be come out and benevolence will be come out from the way we think. You know, most of the time we are thinking how to please the people. We are thinking, you know, sometimes devil is blackmailing us. We're becoming perverted in the way we think. Sometimes we are moving to think wrong way because there's wrong motive inside. And that we need to be very careful about it. You say here, you say, think is not evil. In Romans chapter 6 verse 11, say, the meaning of the word think, not evil thinking. He told them, likewise, reckon you yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the way of thinking. Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. We should have right way of thinking. Many times the Lord catches his disciples where they were thinking wrong way. And he rebuked them. You know, our thoughts are the way we speak to God. When we are thinking wrong way, if we are thinking good way, we are speaking because we are praying. When we are thinking wrong way, sometimes the emotions, sometimes world around us, sometimes the pressure of the people, sometimes the pressure of devil, our fear, cause us to think in a wrong way, that we need to be rebuked by God or through His Word or circumstances. Colossians chapter 13 and verse 7. Verse 6. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Check what your action and deed will bring sin, iniquities, bad things, or will bring the truth out to the surface. We need to be aware what our action and deed is. If we love God, love the people in the right way, there must be truth coming up on the surface, not evil on the surface. Verse 7, charity beareth all things. That is God calling for endurance with pain. Beareth the pain to accomplish the purpose. Beareth all things. It's not only suffereth long, but beareth the pain. That is charity. Constant pain, living with pain in order the purpose of God to be achieved. I'm counting, Lord, how many more years I need to bear the pain. I'm counting till you come and take me. But I need to bear it. You say, beareth all things, believeth all things, not that you trust any word, believeth all the word of God and all what God has say will come true. And based on what you believe, you act. My stand is this because this is what I believe. Believe in all things, not believe in whatever people would tell you, believe, no. Whatever God has said in His word, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, even when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, something contradicts your understanding, you obey it. After a while, you will find out what He spoke is the truth, but your understanding was wrong. You must know how to differentiate between the voice of God and the voice of the devil, and the voice of your emotions. Charity believeth all things of God. Hopeth all things. Charity have hope. And as you know, I can explain this to you. Before you pray, you are in despair, right? You are in despair. As if you are haggard, hungry, thirsty, no hope. But when you start to pray, your hope in God will be restored. That's where charity, hope, have a hope in God. That God will not allow things to go beyond His will. Beyond His control. That's charity. And based on that, we will act. Because certain commands of God, it is hard for our flesh to accept to do. But when there's hope in God that He will fulfill what He promised, yes, it is easy for me to do it now. Because God, what He says, He will fulfill it. And I need to bear it, to believe it, and I have hope and trust in God that you do it. Charity endures all things. To bear the matters is one issue. To endure is different kind of trials and pain, and you need to go through them either one by one or together certain time. And that's where the charity is. Where God allowing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is where God wants us to express that love in this way of measures according to the Scriptures. And let me go down quickly to the Scriptures. After verse 8, after we go and explain the meaning of all these characters of charity. Charity never fails. Yes, if we have this criteria, we never be failed. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. All this prophecy, knowledge, or tongues is come from God. And what He gave us a certain time, we'll find that He has given higher measure of these gifts to somebody else. But what is belong to us is our character and attitude that God wants to change. These are spiritual gifts. What we have from God is what He gives. But how much we interact with Him is how much we express charity in our life and attitudes and character. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Whatever we have knowledge, prophecy, word of God, it is just part of it. But when that which is perfect is come, and that's where the charity is, that is the perfect things, then that which is in part shall be done away. The spiritual gift that he's telling to the Corinthian church, you have a spiritual gift, but that is the part of it, that is not the perfect thing that God wants to see only in you. Your attitude and character and how to ask, how to stand according to the charity that God wants to see in our life. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I get baptized with the Holy Ghost, I can speak in tongues. I have a spiritual gift, that is a child. He was a child. Child in faith. But when I was a child, I speak as a child. I understood as a child because I want to do ministry, I want to do this, I want to give this. But my attitude is telling them I was not yet. I was a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When he became a man, perfect man, a man of God, it's not what he can do, how much his attitude is changed. And Lord, help us to abide with this word of yours. For now we see through a glass, darkly things. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. He's telling them, the spiritual gifts is just seeing through the glass. You know, in 1 John chapter 1, I just want to bring this verse to understand what Paul says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, beloved, 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. So what He's saying to him here, for now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. And what do you say here? We shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as he is. He said, if you want that moment, Apostle John, purify yourself as he is pure. That's what you say here. I know, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. There's more things in our life need to be changed. You know, sometimes when I look to myself 10 years ago, I'm a minister. Baptized by water, baptized by the Holy Spirit, I have the spiritual gifts, I serve God mighty. But when I look to my life 10 years ago, oh, I was deceived, guy. Still God need to reveal more things. And I need to be changed more. Amen? And he crowned all at the end. And now abides faith, hope, charity. These are three, but the greatest of these is charity. Because charity included all these things. Let us humble ourselves before God. Let us stand in the presence. Let us repent from our sin. Let us trust in Him. You know, we sang, change my heart, oh God, but God will not change the heart unless we are willing. Unless we are the one who should change. But when we are changed, it is He who changes us, not we. But before that, we are responsible to change ourselves. God will not take from you your sin unless you are willing to give it away, to give up it. So, that's the point. Let's examine ourselves. What we lack? What we lack of charity? Are you willing to suffer? Or you just want to enjoy without pain? We don't want to endure. We don't want to be pained. We want to continue to puff. You want to continue to puff up and boast and inflate yourself and behave unseemingly and self-seeking. Repent. Oh God, I repent before you, God. Lord, I am determined, oh Lord, that this character that I learned today about love, to suffer long, to do kind things that you ordain, to not to inveigh, not to vaunt or puff up, and not to behave unseemingly, thinking not my own, oh God, my own will, not to be easily provoked, and to be provoked into the right action. I want all these things, oh God, to appear in me. I don't want to be thinking in a vil way, oh God. Lord, I determine to rejoice in the truth, not in iniquity. Oh God, to hope and to believe your word and to have trust in you and to endure all things. Because I know, Lord, charity will never fail. Oh God, help me, oh God. I commit my life, my heart, my soul, my spirit to be completely, oh Lord, changed. Lord, help my brothers and sisters, those who pray this prayer from their heart. Help them, oh God, as we pray, as we sing this song, change my heart, change my life, oh God. Hear our prayer, Lord. Change my heart,
oh God.
Change my life, oh God. Change my attitude, Lord. Change my character, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
My heart, oh God. Hear our prayer.
Never true.
Never. Lord, thank you, God, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for answering our prayer. We trust you, Lord, that you have changed us and you will continue to change us. And we trust you, God, that your word will bear the fruit in our lives, life of association, congregations and servants, and you will raise up workers and people who delight in you and you delight in them. Bless us, Lord. Bless those who are in need of you. Help them to cope with all circumstances in life and to cherish your word and to apply it fully in their life. Help them to grow, to become mature. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. Keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.